Welcome to Casterbrus. I'm Christian Corley. I am hosting the show solo this time because this isn't a standard Casterbrus podcast. We're trying to build out a larger selection of podcasts for you. So this podcast, which, you know, it will appear in your feed alongside with the other podcasts, this is a new, fingers crossed, weekly podcast that takes a look at the news in the world of classic TV and movies that interests myself, interests James, and we think interests you as well, dear listener. So, we'll be keeping our special in-depth conversations and, fingers crossed again, we've got some interviews lined up. Those sorts of podcasts will still be coming along. They will remain as Patreon first releases and then hit the grounds running with those. But this that I'm bringing to you now is a new weekly podcast format where we take a look at the interesting stuff that goes around, things that guys and girls of the sort of, I'm nearly 50 people, I'm 49 in December, and I know I can't be alone in that age, and it seems that pretty much there are certain things that interest me more now than they did once upon a time, and equally there are things that don't interest me quite as much as they once did. I don't think we need to expand on that any further. But there's so much more going on. You know, Doctor Who may have been revived in 2005. There are plenty of other shows that haven't had revivals, but they do still get releases, and they have other, you know, whether it's DVD and Blu-ray or audio or some other thing that's going on surrounding them. So, with all of that in mind, it is 2024. It's October. Now, on the 21st of November, 1984, the first edition of the BBC's televised adaptation of The Box of Delights was screened. It starred Patrick Troughton as Cole Hawken and various other great names as well, which we'll come to in a moment. Robert Stevens, for example. It's coming out again. It's already had a release from, I think, 2004, 2005, but we're getting a brand new 40th anniversary Box of Delights Blu-ray, which is hitting shelves on November the 25th this year. I'm really excited about this because not only is it a new collection, it has a brand new pair of special features. One of them is called Time and Tide, Making the Box of Delights, and the other one is called Trails and Continuity, which is presumably Trails and Continuity from the BBC. And as we used to enjoy in the Doctor Who DVDs when they were first released. Now, the Box of Delights is a show that we've talked about before on the podcast, and 1984, there's something about the age of 8 going on 9 when Christmas kind of collided, certainly for me, with everything that was kind of magical. You had the Box of Delights, you had like this great new range of transforming cars that I was absolutely desperate to buy. There was the this feeling that Christmas was completely real and it was all part of us. Something we could all engage with and, you know, take part in, make presents, write the cards, do the decorations. I recall at that age there was a huge mural at school that myself and all my classmates were invited to take part in putting together. Huge Christmas frieze, we used to call them in those days. And that 40 years ago, and it is 40 years ago, those memories of a very memorable Christmas are punctuated by the episodes 1 to 4 and episode 6 of The Box of Delights, because I missed episode 5 and didn't get to see it till the following year, which that was all down to Christmas shopping. But it's great to see that it's coming back out on Blu-ray at last in this new 40th anniversary edition. You can order it now on Amazon. Check the show notes. And there is actually a DVD version of this release if, for some reason, you don't have a Blu-ray player in 2024. So keep an eye out for that. Now, there is another thing that I'm also very, very interested in and excited to share with you. It is an audiobook drawn from Douglas Adams' archive. It features interviews with his famous friends, and it offers a look into the mind behind The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, Douglas Adams obviously created The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He was also the script editor on Doctor Who in 1978 and 1979. This book includes a collection of well-known, famous, influential fans and friends. Stephen Fry, who was a friend of Douglas Adams, Lenny Henry, David Baddiel, Sanjeev Bhaskar, Griff Rhys-Jones, all take part. This is a Kickstarter at present. Now, when I speak to you, they aimed to get £13,171 raised. Okay? There's 22 days still to go on this campaign, and they've already collected £78,896. They've already collected £78,896 of that goal. So they've surpassed the goal considerably. That's the equivalent of $104,000 of a £17,500 goal. You get various options by supporting the Kickstarter. You get a limited edition print of Douglas Adams on the cover of this title. You get a towel. What else? And a transcription of the audiobook. And they don't know exactly what format the audiobook is going to take, but they reckon it's going to be about 4 to 5 hours long and thematically organized around ideas that Douglas Adams obsessed on throughout his life, his work. So comedy is a serious business, the pain and craft of creation. Section 2, the dolphins were right, conservation and the Anthropocene. Section 3, they still think digital watches are cool, technology, the internet and AI. And remember, AI has been around for a very long time, just not in its generative form that we are experiencing these days. There's a section 4, people are the problem, politics, bureaucracy, capitalism and other issues of civilization. And section 5, the ultimate question, God, atheism and the fundamental interconnectedness of all things and people. The project is being produced by Prodigal Entertainment and Pushkin Industries and written and presented by Arvind Ethan David. He has previously adapted Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency as a play. Some time ago, back when Douglas Adams was still around, who was then able to go and visit it. Douglas Adams, of course, passed away with absolutely no warning to anyone else way back in 2001 and left a bit of a hole in the whole barely occupied Venn diagram of comedy, philosophy and technology. Not many people are able to sit there. So this is a really interesting project that I am toying with the idea of pledging myself. There will be a retail version of the audiobook eventually, so I may wait for that. But I'm very excited to see how this comes along. So it features unheard material from the Adams archive, so it's certainly worth keeping an eye on. And remember, you can go over to Kickstarter, sign up to the Kickstarter website, without actually backing anything, and then you can just sort of click a button that says remind me, and that will just send you emails when there is news about a particular project that you're interested in. And speaking of emails, oh goodness me, it's Christian Corley telling us all about that bloody Patreon again, isn't it? Well, yes it is, because things have changed on the internet. A lot of people have noticed it, a lot of people, probably more, have not. Because there's more people on the internet, there's more websites on the internet, more projects, more podcasts, there needs to be a better way of managing how we communicate with our listeners. And for us, we've opted for Patreon. Now, we do have a paid tier on Patreon that gives you some special bonuses, but after some sort of massaging of the whole thing and working out exactly where the benefit is for our listeners, we've opened our Patreon to be completely free. If you sign up to the Patreon free, you get the early podcast before it goes onto Spotify and Amazon. And we think that's a really good deal to do that because it means that you are able to stay in contact with us. We can let you know what's going on with Castabras. You're not paying for that pleasure. You can pay for the pleasure and get a couple of bonus items such as books. But you can sign up to our Patreon completely free. You get the episodes when they're released early and you also get the updates. So I don't really know what is not to like about that. You can sign up at patreon.com/Castabras. Now let's move on. Discworld. Back on Kickstarter, launching soon. So this hasn't started yet. But again, as I mentioned, you can use that notify me on launch feature in Kickstarter and or the bookmark feature if it's something that's already launched to get updates. Coming soon on Kickstarter is Terry Pratchett's Discworld RPG. It's subtitled Adventures in Arkmoor Pork, and it is a Discworld tabletop role-playing game which catapults you onto the streets of the Big Wahoonie, the city itself, and your story on the disc awaits with this game. We're minimal on details for this, but it looks really, really cool. But if you're on the Modiphius Discworld mailing list, so if you go to, I'll put this in the show notes, but if you go to modiphius.net, you can sign up to their mailing list. And they have an exclusive preview of the quick start rules 24 hours and the rest of the public when the Kickstarter launches later this month on the 15th of October. Now, Modiphius recently announced that it had secured these rights to produce the first new role-playing game from Discworld in over 20 years. They negotiated an agreement with the estate of Sir Terry Pratchett, and they're aiming to publish tabletop games, not just one game, but multiple games, that honour the humour, satire and darkly entertaining fantasy series. And this is the 40th anniversary of the release of The Colour of Magic this year. So the game will be the first RPG for Discworld since 1998 when Steve Jackson Games produced a source book which relied on GURPS rules. If you don't know what GURPS rules are, that's Generic Universal Role-Playing System. I feel like James would be better off to tell us a bit more about that right now, but he's not here. So, hey, Modiphius already has plenty of background in the creation of licensed tabletop games. They've done Conan, they've done Star Trek, they've done John Carter of Mars, and they've also done video game adaptations, Fallout and The Elder Scrolls. So it's in good hands, it's in good hands. A few weeks ago, I stumbled upon a copy of The Terminator on either Disney Plus or Netflix. I can't remember which one it was. And I didn't realise it before we started watching it. The Terminator is 40 years old this year. And it's getting a new 4K release in a limited Steelbook edition. And it's something James and I, just after watching it, I said to James, we should probably do an episode about The Terminator, because this is a movie that people went to see in the cinema in 1984, 1985, and it absolutely blew them away. It had almost a cult following at first, certainly through till 91, 92 when Terminator 2 came along. The Terminator was very low budget. In fact, I believe there's a clip of James Cameron doing the rounds at the moment where he's discussing the original movie and how he is somewhat embarrassed by some of the effects in there and the way it looks and everything. But the movie pushes a particular story that was then clearly expanded with Terminator 2. I mean, I am being a little bit I'm being a bit coy about this with bizarre notion that maybe someone listening hasn't seen The Terminator. Obviously, it's a movie that stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton, and Schwarzenegger is a time-travelling assassin. He's a cyborg sent from the future to kill Linda Hamilton's character, Sarah Connor, and she's protected, although ultimately she overcomes the Terminator herself, not her protector, played by Michael Biehn, a character called Kyle Reese. So this movie is something that I find is a good example of low-budget, high-quality sci-fi. There's a few such examples from the 80s and 1990s. The first couple of series of The X-Files weren't exactly high-budget, were they? They were very low-budget in terms of production and absolutely stunning writing and world-building. So, you know, it comes from a good tradition. And I just find that the Terminator, the movie, is such an important piece of cinema that I think we are probably going to be doing a special podcast about it. Its anniversary is in October or November this year. So, yeah, we are definitely going to be talking about it. And this release is coming along on November the 5th. Slightly linked to the Terminator is the world of Aliens. Obviously, James Cameron directed the second Alien movie, Aliens. And the original movie, directed by Ridley Scott, is also available to stream. Now, I may have mentioned this on the podcast previously in a conversation with James. I also watched that quite recently. And that was a very high-quality print. I'm not sure if it was 4K or 2K, but that movie looks absolutely amazing. It came out in 1979, so 45 years later, it looks absolutely stunning. The only thing that you can't improve with high definition is really bad visual effects. And unfortunately, while Ian Holm's character's entrails, shall we say, look fine, some aspects of its eventual defeat are they don't stand up to scrutiny 45 years later, unfortunately. They're a little bit embarrassing, unfortunately. But as I say, the rest of the movie looks absolutely beautiful. Now, that aside, we're back to games again. There's a role-playing game based on Alien. Ahead of a Kickstarter campaign later this fall, so it's coming along soon, this campaign, Free League is releasing details of Alien, the role-playing game's second edition. Which means they've already done it once. And this has a Kickstarter campaign as well, which, as with everything else, you will find in the show notes. So you can check it out if role-playing Alien games is something that you can see yourself doing one weekend. And this is an expansion, second edition, with some expansion of core rules and an updated starter set from the previous release of this. But they're doing it as a Kickstarter, and there's a miniature set available as well. Again, this is another one that hasn't launched yet, so you can get notified on launch for that. And sticking with crowdfunders, Sherlock Holmes Crimes for Christmas is available to support via BackerKit. And this is a collection of new Sherlock Holmes stories to be read over the holiday season and divided into sections. The first day provides the case to the reader, the second day provides the ending, and you get to think like Sherlock Holmes and see if you can solve the case before reading the thrilling conclusion. This is a co-production between Berlanga Books and The Strand Magazine. That's an interesting one to keep an eye on. This has ended on September the 26th. It raised £5,220. It aimed for 1,000. So that's gone quite well. So this looks like it's going to be coming along reasonably promptly. We'll give you the link to the show notes for that, so you can check that out as well. Now then, couple of other things to talk about as we race towards the conclusion of this new format, Cast Erebus podcast. It is something related to, actually, it's difficult to kind of actually explain what it is if you're not familiar with it. In fact, this is one of those moments where I find that actually using AI tools to ask a question, you tend to get a slightly better answer than you do using a search engine. So if I type this, How do I explain the Bonzo Dog Band to people who are unfamiliar with it? Well, imagine a band that's a bit like Monty Python meets the Beatles, but with a dash of psychedelic jazz. They were a British group from the 1960s who were known for their absurd and often hilarious songs, with a blend of traditional jazz, rock, pop music and surreal humour and nonsensical lyrics, with silly costumes, quirky instruments and a whole lot of fun. They were unique, and I think that's probably the best way to explain it if you're not familiar with it. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there is a comprehensive 17 CD and 3 DVD, along with a 148-page hardback book collection that celebrates the complete works of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. And this is coming along quite soon, but it costs £250. So I think you need to be very much a Bonzo's fan to be interested in buying this, because this is a bit of an investment, and it's, you know, it's, I'd be surprised if there isn't a vinyl version eventually, simply because I'm just going to give a quick rundown. Remastered stereo versions of all the band's original albums, additional remastered versions of Gorilla and the Donut in Granny's Greenhouse in the original mono mixes, a newly compiled remastered CD of all their singles, two discs of demos, rehearsals and outtakes, a single disc of backing tracks, three discs of BBC sessions, two live discs, Studio Bellevue Amsterdam, recorded in November 1968 and transmitted on the 3rd of January 1969, and Fillmore East, New York City, from the 17th of October 1969, and a CD featuring a live show from London's Marquee Club, and additional material of band rehearsals from the Manor Studios in Oxfordshire. Then you've got three DVDs of TV performances, including their complete Do Not Adjust Your Set show performances, Colour Me Pop, Beat Club and more. There's rare appearances, short films and vintage footage from the height of their career. There's a 148-page hardback coffee table book. There is, which features tributes from people like Pete Townsend, Stephen Fry, and Yvonne Innes, wife of Neil Innes. There's seven reproduction band photo prints, eventually signed by Roger Rodney Legs, Larry and Vernon. Three band art prints, reproduction of Imperial Records US promo poster, and 1967 Liberty Records press release. This is an incredible collection of Bonzo's stuff. And, you know, there's a big kind of crossover between the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band and various other notable 60s personnel in the cultural space. Monty Python personnel, obvious. Also, Paul McCartney, who produced I'm the Urban Spaceman, which was sung by Neil Innes. And Innes obviously worked with the Pythons later on and with Eric Idle for the Rutland Weekend Television. So this is a massive collection of stuff. I would be very surprised if I actually ever see a copy of this collection. So that's still barking. And this is a thing that is actually coming out. There's no sort of crowdfunding with this one. This is a thing that is being released. I'll give you the link to find that in the show notes so you can follow that up and make that decision as to whether that is your Christmas 2024 investment. Wow. Well, we are here. We have made it to the end of a solo podcast, which doesn't involve me droning on and on about Jodie Whittaker or Shruti Gatwa. It's actually been quite fun, I think, and we've got through quite a lot of interesting material, and I'm pretty delighted at how this has gone. So, this podcast is basically a news, new releases, interesting topics that you might be interested in following up on. And we'll be back with in-depth conversations and interviews. I'm coming out and I'm saying it. We're doing some interviews later on. There is just one more thing that I haven't told you. And this is a thing that is really going to be interested to people who have interest in doing personal projects or free projects, research and education. The BBC Sound Effects Archive now has over 33,000 free samples ready to download. They're there for you to just use, but they can't be used for commercial purposes. the BBC Sound Library is immense, so there's going to be a lot of very interesting stuff in there for you to check out. I'll certainly be having a look into it myself, because I'm working on a new podcast, which has nothing to do with Doctor Who, nothing to do with television, it's about my granddad. But a bit more information about that will come along once things enter production. We're waiting on the details from the National Archive at the moment, which may give you a slight hint as to what the topic is. That brings us to the end of this week's Casterbridge News podcast. We'll be back soon. Until next time, it's goodbye.